Our present conference is on Mary, Mother of the Church. This title, as we know, Mater Ecclesiae, is really as conceived by the Church herself, the title of Our Lady by which she was known already from Calvary on. The actual use, however, goes back at least on a universal scale only to the Second Vatican Council. During the preparations for the council and then during the council sessions, there was serious discussion about having one document exclusively on Our Lady. Pope Paul VI decided, better not. Better place Mary where she belongs, as Mother of the Church. The dogmatic constitution, therefore, of the Church has the longest conciliar teaching on the Blessed Virgin of all the 21 general councils of Catholic history. Shortly thereafter, Holy Father instituted the feast of Mary, Mother of the Church, and then published on May 13th, 1967, not coincidentally, exactly the 50th anniversary of the first appearance of Our Lady at Fatima, the encyclical Signum Magnum, the great sign. The encyclical is both a vindication of the place that Mary has occupied over the centuries in Catholic faith and piety, and open the door, as we must believe, for a renaissance in Marian piety, in Catholic Christianity. Our focus here will be to look at two aspects of this vast subject. First, what do we believe when we believe that Mary is the Mother of the Church? And secondly, how are we to put this faith in Mary's ecclesial maternity into practice in our own daily lives and apostolically into the lives of others? First, then, the doctrine. We are correctly accustomed to speaking of Mary as Mother of God, Mother of Christ. However, it is precisely because she is the Mother of God and the Mother of Christ that she is also necessarily the Mother of the Church. And now, as we know, in the Litany of Our Lady, it could not have been better placed theologically. Mother of Christ, Mother of the Church, Mother of Divine Grace. Perfect theological sequence. So we ask ourselves, what do we mean when we speak of Our Lady as Mother of the Church and the focus of our days of reflection, as we've been saying, is to deepen, clarify, make more intelligible what we already believe, to understand more deeply and more clearly. What then do we believe when we speak of Our Lady as Mater Ecclesiae? She is Mother of the Church because she is Mother of the Savior, which means Mother of Jesus. Since it was her Son who saved us from our sins. And Christ established the Church most fundamentally as the divinely instituted means of redeeming a sinful world. Secondly, she is Mother of the Church because she is Mother of the Redeemer. Since, as we know from the Gospels, she cooperated in a deeply interior and from the depths of her heart manner with the Divine Son in His costly redemption of a sinful mankind. Indeed, she cooperated even before she conceived Jesus, and then all through her life, cooperated with Him, she internally, in the work that He did, including His public ministry, His sacrifice of the cross. Thus we may speak on this first level as Mary, Mother of the Church, historically. What are we saying? We are saying that, except for Mary, there will be no Jesus Christ. And without Him, there will be no Church. She cooperated to bring Christ and the Church into existence. She is, therefore, Mother of the Church by her faithful collaboration as the spouse of the Holy Spirit in begetting the Church, which came into full existence on Calvary. So far, we may speak, therefore, of Mary as Mother of the Church historically. But we go on. Since Calvary, Mary has not ceased to be Mother of the Church. She continues to provide the Church as only a mother can, by her powerful intercession with her Divine Son, and by her continual inspiration as the pattern and model of what the Church should be. You might say the church is patterned on her mother. To recapitulate, and I hope clarify, when then we speak of Our Lady as Mother of the Church, we mean both that she was Mother of the Church in bringing Christ, except for whom there would be no church, into being originally and cooperating from the moment of the Incarnation up to her Son's death on Calvary in His redeeming the world and thus making possible the Church's existence. But she is, not just was, Mother of the Church. These two ways, therefore, that Our Lady is Mother of the Church are not the same. First, by her intercession. That's how she is mothering the church now. By her intercession, she answers our prayers and obtains from her divine Son all the graces we need. And that universal is no exaggeration. All the graces we need, provided we intercede. Or better, provided we invoke her so she may intercede. Indeed, she cooperates with Christ in the institution and distribution of the blessings that a divine Son continues conferring on a desperately needed human race. In this sense, Mary, as we've said, is mothering the church by her loving solicitude and care. Notice we are distinguishing Mary's maternity as a historical fact and Mary's maternity as an ongoing action on her part. Secondly, besides mothering the church through her intercession, she further mothers the church by providing the example and inspiration to her spiritual offspring by the virtues that she practiced on earth and that we are urged to imitate. Just here is the best explanation of why in God's providence Our Lady has been appearing and speaking. And so widely urging us and teaching us to heed the lesson that she first taught at Cana in Galilee, telling the attendants, do everything that he tells you. Moreover, as we know, because the attendants followed Mary's directives, what happened? Christ worked his first miracle. Before we go any further with the communications of Our Lady in modern times, notably due to our world-famous shrines of Lourdes and Fatima, I think at least a word of caution is in place. Not to be piously swept off our feet by being taken, as it were, by storm. And not infrequently taken in by those who at least may consider themselves the mystic receivers of special revelations from on high. Right now, I think I'm working with five, no less than five, believed to be mystics. I have never done this before. On my shelf now, I have a separate section for the mystics. Their communications, their revelations, in a special compartment. A retreat all by itself. Just, I repeat, a word of caution. I never thought I'd live to do this, but I thought I should. Go to one of my own Jesuit brethren, urging him, please, please, look more carefully. Study the situation more cautiously before you publicly tell people, I am receiving revelations from on high. Just here, therefore, is the best explanation of why in God's providence the modern popes have, with emphasis, our present Holy Father, keep telling us to listen to what Our Lady has been telling her chosen souls, especially the great Marian saints of modern times, pleading with them, Our Lady, to make sure that especially sinners recognize their sinful state, repent, and return to God. I would say, all the modern Marian revelations, where genuine, can be reduced to one imperative verb, repent. Having said what we did, we now wish to ask ourselves, what should be our response? We ought to be ready. The more carefully we look at Our Lady as Mother of the Church in the ways we've seen, the more we've got to remind ourselves, and this is the focus of this conference, that we have a responsibility before God to not just believe in Mary's motherhood of the Church, but to put into practice, and specifically and especially in three ways. first summarily. Corresponding to Mary as Mother of the Church up to Calvary, as Mother of our Redeemer, our response should be one of grateful veneration. Secondly, corresponding to Mary as Mother of the Church since Calvary, as our intercessor, our response should be fervent and confident invocation. And third, corresponding to Our Lady as Mother of the Church since Calvary, as our pattern and inspiration, our response should be humble acceptance and imitation. Many, therefore, three words, which in 47 years of the priesthood, I have never tired telling by now scores of audiences. To venerate Our Lady, invoke Our Lady, and imitate the Mother of God. We may see the Church's history and the Church's spirituality over the centuries have shown, and we've got patterns to follow from the very beginning to the present day, what all of this means in practice. As I'm sure you've heard, I may have said this myself, men are the philosophers. Men write the poems. Women are the realists. There just could not have been a Miss Shakespeare. There is a down-to-earth realism about women that Our Lady personifies, and that our devotion to the Blessed Virgin should also reflect. Now we'll go over each of these three in more detail. From the first century and to the present day, it is an axiom of the Catholic faith that true followers of Christ venerate in a thousand different ways the Mother of Christ. We may say a person is as Catholic as he or she is Marian. Now this veneration, defined theologically, it is a loving recognition . Veneration is a combination of knowledge and love. How do we venerate Our Lady? First, by our prayers of praise and honor to Our Lady, like, as I keep telling people, the first seven of the 10 parts of the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God. We haven't asked for a thing. Is that prayer? Is that prayer? End. That is prayer at its best. When we venerate, when we honor, when we glorify. How do you venerate Our Lady? By our statues and pictures. By our paintings and models. Within a week of my entrance into the novitiate, we were told, Mother Novice, who was told to instruct us, now fellows, from now on as Jesuits, whenever you turn any paper in class, always don't forget, on the top left side you put AMDG, Ad Maiorem Dei Gloriam. On the top right side you put BVMH, E Beati Virginis Mariae Honorem. I've been doing this ever since. I don't turn papers in. I make notes. 35,000 feet in the air. The blank side of my plane ticket. AMDG BVMH. It gets into your blood. How do you venerate Our Lady? Our shrines and sacramentals. The number of medals in honor of Our Lady. Just occurred to me. Have any of you not been enrolled in the confraternity of the Miraculous Medal? Have not been enrolled. Thanks. This is a good community. How do you venerate Our Lady? By our beads and scapulars. By our use of her name. And even some is part of our name. By our stories. We should know stories about the Blessed Virgin and poems. May our hymns and canticles all to bring out as acts of honoring love of Mary, our veneration of the Mother of God. We go on. Remember our focus. We are now concentrating on our response to Mary as Mother of the Church. In the same way as venerating Our Lady, the Church's history and liturgy are filled with forms of invocation to the powerful Mother of God. in our prayers. For example, I keep repeating this. The last three parts of the Hail Mary are, well, acts of invocation. Pray for us sinners. That's quite an invocation. Now, right now, and at the hour of our death. Is an article of faith. No one, a lifetime of practicing virtue, can merit a happy death. Hear it. A happy death must be prayed for. You cannot merit dying in the grace of God. You must beg for it. And that is why. How thoughtful of the church to make sure we would close every Hail Mary with the invocation. Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. We go on. In the Memorare, we dare say, quote, never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. What is Lourdes, if not a dramatic proof of Our Lady's helping people even to working miracles in the physical order? And Fatima, again, but this time, miracles in the moral order. May I strongly recommend cultivating the habit of saying memorares during the day. My superiors, as I think I've told you somewhere, pulled me out of my doctoral studies in chemistry and put me into theology. Great. But among the residue of my scientific training, I count everything. Tonight, before I retire, I will list the number of memorares I've said so far today. I won't tell you how many. Why waste time? Finally, we are reflecting, remember, on our response. Because Our Lady is the pattern and pattern for us in the spiritual life that we are to follow and imitate. You name the virtue, and she is a worthy model for us to follow. But there is one virtue, and one especially, that she is uniquely the model for, and that is the virtue of faith. Let's make sure we know that Christ, O Lord, did not have faith because he didn't need it. She did. Figure of faith of the Annunciation. At the time of Joseph's dilemma. Her faith in Bethlehem. Her faith in the temple, the presentation and purification. And in the finding in the temple at the age of 12. Her faith when she had to go with Joseph and her son to Egypt. Think of the faith she had to exercise during the years at Nazareth. She nursed her own child. As a boy, he grew up. And all the while, realizing, and she believed it, this is my God. Then during Christ's passion, and most especially on Calvary, then as we know, from the first century on, Saturday has been called two names, Faith Day, Mary's Day. She believed that her son, as he promised, would rise from the grave. Unlike Jesus, therefore, Mary had to live by faith. And this is also the theme of all her authenticated messages over the centuries. Believe, she tells us, in my divine Son. Believe in his vicar on earth. Believe in sin. Believe in the necessity for repentance and penance for sin. Believe in heaven. Believe in hell. Believe in the Holy Eucharist. And believe in the power of prayer. Every prayer we say, every knee we bend, is meant to be an act of faith. And our primary model is Our Lady. I have a closing prayer. Mary, Mother of the Church, you gave us our Son, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to give us the Church. To you he entrusted all of us on Calvary, when, in the person of St. John, he told us, "Behold your mother." More than perhaps ever before in the Church's history, we need your maternal guidance and your motherly care. Help us to do what you told the attendants at Cana. Do everything he tells you. Guide us, we beg, to that heavenly home where you with your divine Son are awaiting us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.